It is now 6:30 in the nation. Time for us to welcome you to the Healthline Radio Show, brought to you with the best wishes of the Heart and Stroke Foundation and the Right to Healthy Foods. And at this time, I want to introduce you to Jan Phillips, who is the Advocacy Officer at the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And Jan will introduce us to this evening's guests. Hi, Jan. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Larry, and thank you so much. And good evening, listeners, and welcome to Healthline. As Larry said, my name is Jan Phillips, and I'm the Advocacy Officer with the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados and your host this evening. So this is the first time that we're going to be having this show. It's a series of programs brought to you by the Heart and Stroke Foundation's Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition. And every Wednesday for the next 12 weeks, we'll be here at 6:30 to join you for an hour. So the objective is to share information, especially to parents, on childhood obesity and the effects, etc., on non-communicable diseases as well. But not only to share information, we definitely want to hear from you. So we're going to be opening our phone lines in a little while so that you can call us. So the theme for the first session this evening is our children's health is at risk in and out of COVID. And notice that was not a question, but that was a statement. But joining me this evening for this first session and to have a conversation with you are three of our Childhood Obesity Prevention Coalition members, all experts, and yes, I say experts, in the area of health and nutrition. And let me get right into introducing our first guest. It's Professor Ann St. John, affectionately known to us as Prof. Ann. Professor St. John is consultant pediatrician and medical director of youth health and at HSSB's Youth Gym. Hi, Prof. Ann. Welcome.
Hello, Jan. It's wonderful to be here on this program to share some information with listeners.
Always great having you. Next, I have Dr. Diane Brathwaite, who is clinical director at the Barbados Diabetes Foundation. Welcome, 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 Diane.
Hi, Jan. Nice to team up with you guys again.
Always. And our third guest this evening is Mrs. Nicole Elliott, one of our nutritionists, and she is one of our nutritionists in our coalition. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, good night, everyone. Good night, Jan. Good night, co-host.
Wonderful to have all of you on board and to publicly say thank you for your continued support in the Childhood Obesity Prevention Program. So we know how quickly this hour is going to run, so let me start, but a bit of housekeeping first. Before we start, the first 30 minutes, we're going to talk to our guests so that you can get a whole lot of information, and then we'll give them the opportunity to share with you on the topic, but after which we're going to open the phone lines and take your calls. So let's get started. I'm sure every time you hear us, we always say one in three children in Barbados is overweight or obese. And this is long before COVID-19. But now that add COVID-19 to the mix, with online learning and less outdoor action for children, constant snacking, et cetera, all this has come down in a big heat. So we want to get you through this process. But let's go back. Let's do pre-COVID. Prof. Ann, let me invite you first. Give us a brief on the serious challenge that Barbados faces with obesity, and in particular, childhood obesity.
Well, it's been very interesting over a number of years following. We might be approaching one in two instead of one in three children being overweight or obese by the end of the COVID pandemic. Barbados is facing a real challenge. And non-communicable diseases, of which obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes are some of them, are now responsible for 8 out of every 10 deaths in Barbados. And by 2015, cancer was the second leading cause of death in Barbados. 31% of children are considered overweight or obese. And 73.3% of these students were found to drink at least one or more sodas per day. These are observations that were made. And certainly, non-communicable diseases account for 60% of the country's health budget expenditure. and direct and indirect economic costs of NCDs in Barbados is over $209 million annually. So this is just some of the basic information available. And the World Health Organization has made it known that childhood obesity is one of the most serious global challenges of the 21st century. Certainly, one in three children in the Caribbean is overweight or obese, and it's predicted that by 2030, half of the region's children are expected to be overweight or obese, with all of the social and health implications. Outstandingly, 2019 data shows that Barbados's school food environment continues to be highly obesogenic and challenging for young people to navigate within the context of effective marketing strategies. So we're in a constant battle trying to stem the tide, and along comes COVID.
Yes, along came COVID, and moving right along. So Diane, what I want to ask you from a medical perspective, just give us a brief on the link between obesity and NCDs, busting any myths that persons have about obesity. We know that you can make this link because you see this every day in your job. So give us a brief.
Yeah, so of course you must remember that when we're dealing with obesity, obesity is not just a case of putting down extra body fat and storage material on your body, but the fat cells in the body are actually what we call metabolically active, and they produce a lot of very irritant substances within the body that actually cause direct damage to the body. So when we're talking about obesity, once again, as I said, it's not just putting down fat on the outside of your body, but you're also starting to put down extra fat tissue in your liver, in your pancreas, in your muscle cells, in multiple parts of your body, in the vessels and around your heart structures. You're putting down fat in areas that stop you from expanding your lungs properly. And so with these kind of implications, what it means is that you're going to have an earlier onset, therefore, of NCDs. And truthfully, this is something that we are seeing. Something that I've seen over the last year is more and more very, very young children presenting with pre-diabetes, to the point that we actually started in our clinic. If a patient comes in and they bring their children with them, and a lot of the times the children that come in with them are actually overweight or obese, we will actually screen them for free. And we're picking up that many of them are actually pre-diabetic. And it's pretty scary because you're picking up these things in children who are 8, 9, 10, 11, you know. And the other thing that we pick up with it is that parents are actually very unaware of the impact that obesity can have on these children's lives. We're talking about diabetes. We're talking about hypertension. We're talking about breathing problems. We're talking about having heart disease at a very early stage in your life. You know, we're talking about breathing problems. We're talking about mental health problems. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. But I think, you know, there is a level of unawareness, I would like to believe, because I don't believe that any parent doesn't want to give their child like the best chance for a healthy future. But, you know, there's something that has to be done, because what we're going to see is we're going to see an explosion of these numbers as a result of COVID. So I'll just keep it pretty simple and leave it as that. But the complications are actually very extensive, and more than that. One point that I want to point out, and this is based on what's been seen in the rest of the world, when children develop NCDs, they actually develop more aggressive NCDs. They develop the complications of NCDs at a much, much, much earlier age. For example, with diabetes, there's a large study in the US, it's called the Today 2 study, anybody can look at it. And they actually terminated their study early because the number of children that they found with complications related to diabetes, these were children who were diagnosed at the age of 16 and 19. Within just a few years, they already had eye damage, they had nerve damage, they had pregnancy losses, they had cardiac damage, and the list kind of just goes on. And as I said, the scary thing about it is that these children actually develop almost an accelerated form of these NCDs with very, very early damage, you know, to their bodies. So hence why we're all here. We're not talking because we want to harass people or make people miserable, but we're in healthcare because we want to see a change for the future. I don't like where I see the future going, but we have to keep doing something, you know, about it.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought just now when you were talking, Diane, that I think people really don't hear these things. Mm-hmm. The people that are affected by them, yes, they know exactly, but the majority of the people don't hear these things. And I think this is why programs like these are so important. So at this point, let me turn the conversation back to Profan and post-COVID, as I know you and some colleagues did some related research. This study served to assess and report the impact of COVID-19 lockdown period on the children's nutrition and health practices. Can you share some of what you found and some of the conclusions?
Certainly. We found, looking at a cohort of students who are involved in our youth gym, at the Heart and Stroke Foundation, which is a weekly activity, that their vegetable intake was less frequent than one serving a day. We found their fruit consumption was less frequent than one serving a day. Refined starches were consumed daily, and the dietary recommendations for adolescents were not met. This was a group of students who aged between 8 and 19. And we also found participants did not engage in any structured exercise as per their routine when they were usually in the gym or at school, and playing of video games and other entertainment on mobile devices was extremely popular as an activity. We also found that it required physical daily activity of at least 30 minutes to an hour daily was not achieved, and this is a WHO recommendation. So in conclusion, the COVID lockdown period between March and June, we found it impacted greatly on nutrition and health practices to the extent of negatively affecting adolescents' BMI, which is already elevated for age. And children with pre-existing obesity had significant body weight and fat percentage, and the overall dietary practices were very poor and not met the recommendations that we have for adolescents and students. So this was quite revealing to us during the period of lockdown as we looked at the students before and after the lockdown.
Okay, great. Thanks for that, Prof. And that segues nicely into the next thing that I'm going to come to, and I'm going to draw Nicole into the conversation. And Nicole, oftentimes when we speak to people, they say, oh, but eating healthy is so expensive and we don't know what the alternatives are and things like that. So if you can give some guidance to parents listening, how to help their children stay healthy and prevent putting on weight during COVID and beyond by what they eat and what they do, if we can speak to that.
So one of the things that people always, one of the biggest misconceptions is that eating healthy is expensive. Yes, it can run expensive depending on what you choose to select. And so when people decide to eat healthy, they always run off into the supermarket and try to look for things that are already pre-packaged in it and say healthier option or low fat, or they go into these things that already present themselves to be, you know, this idea of what healthy looks like. For me, when it relates to your child at home and having the COVID situation where you're doing online school and they're at home the whole day, try to limit in terms of what they can do and where they can go in the house. So if you are at school for, say, allotted three hours a day that you have for springtime for school, pack the lunch bag for the child from the morning as if they were going off to school. So once it is packed, put down some ground rules. You're not going to the fridge to collect anything. So when you're packing the bag, you're putting in the water, you're putting in the fruit for a snack, you're putting in the lunch. And if they have two breaks, you'll put another fruit or a cracker or something like that. In terms of what you would pack for them for lunch, you can do something simple. Potatoes, I see, are very plentiful now. And that is a carbohydrate-rich source. You can mix that with some frozen vegetables, which I know may be a cheaper option and an easier option for some people who have to rush to prepare. And you could use the multi-mix principle. And I'm pretty sure there for those ones who have kids in secondary school, they're already learning about this in school, get them to put it together. I know that some persons have objections to using the microwave, but I have found that the microwave is a very quick way for kids to be able to make something for themselves that is healthy. and put in a potato, a medium-sized potato in the microwave, and heating potato in the microwave along with some vegetables in there with that, and a protein, whether it'll be a protein from a can, whether it'll be a protein, a piece of chicken breast that you would have already pre-baked before that they could put along with it. That's a simple three mixed meal, and you're going to get your carbohydrate, you're going to get your protein, and you're going to get your vegetable source in there. So if you can prepackage those things for the older ones, that they could just pop it in and do that. And if you have a kid, I know that some children do not like to have the cooked food item for lunch at school and at home. You could do a sandwich, and the sandwich could become blended with those same elements. You have your bread, which would be your carbohydrate or staple source. Then you can include, if you have a vegan child, you can make a cheese, what we would call a fake cheese paste, using the chickpeas, which tastes very similar to cheese paste. And is a better option than using the cheese. You have tuna, you have chicken, and I know a lot of kids over here like chicken, but they necessarily, and strange enough, a lot of kids are free to believe, when you carry them to a fast food restaurant, they usually peel off the skin off the chicken anyways. So if you can give them that option already before they enter it, stop trying to force that eating of the fat on the meat on them, because they really don't like it. It's not appealing to them at a young age. They think it's disgusting. So if you can try not to make that something that they like, and just give them the chicken breast that is plain. And ironically, we all know that people like chicken legs and thighs and those things. And we all talk about chicken prices and these things going up. But those parts of the chicken that we like the most are the most expensive parts of the chicken. Chicken wings and chicken legs and those things are the more expensive parts. If you can go into the supermarket and purchase the cheaper options, which are like things like the breast before the skin on it, that may still have the bone. If you can choose, I know some people will be frown on chopped mix and so, but there's an option where you can make something like a pilau. You could put rice, you can have your rice, you put your peas, you put your chicken, and you put your vegetables in there, and you put them together. You have a three mixed meal without even having to do so many things. You just throw everything in and you let it cook up. And then you have a meal that not only your child can eat, you can eat, your husband can eat, your child's sister and brother can have as well. And all you need now is to package that and then give them some fruit. And sometimes it's best to stay away from those fruits that you need to cut down and slice up, because it takes time, and then sometimes they're not appealing when they have the enzymatic reaction. Just give them the apple. Because if they eat that one apple, yes, even though they're serving sizes for fruit, the idea of them having a serving size, the fruit thing, most kids, when they eat that one apple, they're probably not going to go back and eat another serving anyway. So if they could get all one time, give them all the servings for that allotted day, one time they're going to have it. Because the fat is that when it's over, they get it from that desk and they run off, they're probably not going to see anything else other than having some playtime or some television time, which that too needs to be monitored.
Good. Excellent. I think also what we can add to that, especially now that the kids are at home, is start encouraging people to plant their own stuff, do their own stuff. I never knew that I had a green thumb. I found out that I had a green thumb since March last year. So I am now growing stuff. I'm now digging up my garden to plant some eggplants and okras and different things like that. But I think we have to do things a little bit differently now, since COVID seems to be affecting everything that we do. I think we need to start doing things differently. And exercise also. I think if you take your kids outside with you and get them digging up in the garden and running around and watering, I think all that needs to come into play as well. We also want to get to the children. This is why we talk about childhood obesity and trying to prevent this from happening. But Prof Ann, you are involved in the youth gym at the Heart and Stroke Foundation. So while we have kids out there that we're trying to work with to prevent this, you work with kids who have already these difficulties and you're working alongside them. So speak to us about the youth gym and what you do there.
The youth gym was founded some 5 years ago this month, September. And it came out of the fact that we have a high prevalence, 1 in 3 children overweight or obese. And there was nowhere really focused for them to receive their instruction as such. unfortunately, many people look at children who are overweight and obese. They say they're being boned or the family is big. These are all explanations. However, we have standard weights and heights for age, and between the third and 97th, if you have 100 children, there is what's called a bell curve. So everybody's not big, everybody's not small, but you should fall within a certain range for a body mass index of the child for age. So what we do is we set referrals, and these are taken from either private doctors or the pediatric clinic at the hospital, polyclinics. Even schools can ask the parents, and the parents come in through the referral and they're assessed. The classes are weekly for students aged 8 to 19, and we divide the class according to age. And we have professional pediatric exercise trainers. We have a psychologist who comes and deals with sessions related to bullying and approach to the obese child. We have a nutritionist, Kimberly Rutter, and others like Nicole. And we also have other things to try to motivate the students to try to improve their quality of life and live a healthy lifestyle. And we like them to continue during the week exercise. Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you, but we're all new at this, but I'm being signaled that we're going to take a break right now, or we're going to come right back to you. Okay? Sure.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips, them just give hypertension. Got some old fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed, steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going your garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because this still be hell for summer. We mine is alarming.
Jeez, bread. Real talk, that carry one of cells, nah?
Just because you're active, it doesn't mean that sugary drinks aren't doing damage to you and your children. One in every three of our children is overweight or obese. Sugary drinks increase the risk of obesity and type 2 diabetes. It can also bring on heart attack and stroke. Our children have a right to nutritious foods. It's time for government to remove sugary drinks from our schools.
A message from the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados and partners.
Thank you very much, Larry. And we're back, Prof. I'm sorry. This is really the first time we're doing this. So next time we're going to get this. Prof. Ann, I'm going to come right back to you because I think you still need to share a little bit more information on the youth gym, and feel free to give any type of information you want. We know what you do there is important.
Certainly. We were very fortunate to have the Heart and Stroke Foundation make Saturday mornings available for the students. So we don't have any adults coming there for any cardiac rehab on that day. And what we have is a program. They start off with a number of minutes. They run a mile on the machines, and then they go outside and they do ball games and they do dumbbells and they do push-ups and a variety of activities which they can do at home on the mat. Because during the time of the lockdown, we had to have virtual gym. And this was quite challenging for us, but I even participated. And it showed them that during the time when they're online school, they can have an activity on the mat at home. They don't have to have a playing field to run and do that sort of activity. They can do their ups and downs and raise their metabolic rate on a mat once it's for at least half of an hour to an hour.
Absolutely. When we talk about exercise, and people always think that you have to go on the outside. No, if you're sitting down and working in a chair, just get up and do some stretches. Like every meeting we have an exercise break where you get up and you exercise. But exercise nowadays, you need exercise along with the eating, right? We just have to get this together. All right. Diane, I want to come back to you because I know you always have wonderful information to share with us in terms of NCDs. I know you are very much into everything diabetes, but if you, I they know me. I like to scare people into doing the right thing. So share some information with us, Diane, in terms of childhood obesity and where we really need to get what people need to see happening in your space that they can come on board this program and understand how serious it is.
Okay, I mean, I think the seriousness of it has been highlighted, but we can't highlight it enough. I think part of the challenge that we face is because this has become a norm. And we see it all around us. So, you know, I think people don't quite understand the seriousness of it as yet. But I mean, oh my gosh, in my personal space, the things I see a lot of unnecessary suffering as a result of diabetes. It's very heartbreaking always for me, especially when I see young persons who have complications like kidney failure, blindness, loss of toes, loss of limbs. You know, all these kind of complications. And that's half the reason that I went into diabetes, because these complications are not necessary. And, you know, it's always very worrisome when you have young persons, because you have to understand when you have a young person who has a condition with diabetes, you know, they just want to be a young person. They don't want to have a chronic illness. And that applies to any other NCD that a young person has. So there are a lot of people who actually struggle with controlling their non-communicable diseases, because, you know, they just want to be a young person doing the things that other young people do. And sometimes the management of their NCD gets very neglected. And sometimes we do have extreme challenges with younger persons who have NCDs getting them controlled. But as I said, the hard thing about it is you know where that person is going to be going. You know, a lot of them are like, basically, they're like trains that are going to run off the track, and you see it happening, but they can't see it happening. So I think overall, the message has to be one of prevention. Yes, we want to help those people whose trains are running off the track or run off the track, but it must be a message of prevention as well, not just managing, you know, all of these kind of severe kind of complications. Otherwise, you know, we'll never really catch up with anything. We'll always be in the same predicament where we're just chasing after complications we, you know, we probably can't do very much about. Anyway, I know you like the horror stories. I normally try to be the positive one, you know, but I try to be the positive one. But I think, as I said, this show is very necessary, but I think that we all have to understand, not just on this show, but at multiple levels, this is a message that has to go out until people are sick and tired of hearing us, and I'm sick and tired of hearing myself. And I think that's the only way that we're going to make some headway with the changes that we're going to see. I mean, otherwise for Barbados, you know, in 5, 10 years, the picture is really not going to look so pretty. We are already in a situation where our NCDs actually almost outstrip our capacity to care for them properly, you know, our healthcare bills as well. It is only going to get worse. And I always almost align this, you know, to COVID. You have to look at what's going on everywhere else to be able to see where you're going. You can't wait till you get there to want to do something about it, because it means it's like, you know, the horse is already out the stable. We'll keep trying, but it's so much harder when you wait until, you know, you have a crisis, you know, to try to deal with it. You know, I wanted to point out one thing that we didn't kind of hit on, and that's the sugar sweetened beverages. That is one of the easiest things that you can change if you want to start fixing your diet that will have a grand impact on the amount of sugar you're consuming and the amount of calories you're consuming. A lot of children drink a lot of sugary beverages throughout the day. We have to remember that if you're going to have a fruit, have a fruit. Fruit is better than fruit juice. When the body sees a fruit juice, it treats sugar as sugar. It doesn't treat it as this is a fruit, right? So just remember, I mean, all the parents out there, anybody who's involved with children, you know, just encourage your children just to drink more water. Find healthier ways to do things. Nicole, you mentioned, you know, in the evening time after being in class, you know, try to get the kids out instead of sitting down more, because I'm stuck. Speak to kids and they're like, so what do you do after you finish school? They're like, oh, we go and play games with our friends, you know? And sometimes, you know, it is actually the exception. I find discussions very interesting in that, you know, so I'll ask, so why don't y'all go and play like basketball? Or I don't have anybody to go and play with or whatever. You know, parents take out my best times exercising or spent actually exercising after school with my father in the evening. And that's something that I grew up with and fortunately was able to take through, you know, my lifetime. You know, just doing that kind of daily exercise with my dad. I'd be riding, he'd be walking. And when I got a little bit older, I'd be running and he'd be walking and I'd run back to him and run on. You know, so we have to, as hard as life seems sometimes and as many commitments as we seem to have, we have to understand that this is a critical investment in our children. Just that little bit of time, you know, to do these things that really make the difference. I get home from work and I'm exhausted, I understand it. But it takes effort, but our children are worth the effort, right?
Oh, they are absolutely worth the effort. Thank you, Diane. That was excellent information. What I want to do now is to give you the number, but I'm sure you know the number even better than me. We want to open the phone lines right now, 434-1790. And we are going to start taking your calls. And I always wanted to say this before you call. You need to listen to your telephone. You need to turn your radio right down and listen to your telephone line. I actually said that. I always wanted to say that. So 434-1790. And we are looking forward to hearing from you. Larry, I don't know how you're going to set this up, if I'm going to hear or if you're going to take the calls.
No, we can together take him. I'm looking here to see if we've got a caller coming in, but none so far. But you guys are engaging in a very interesting debate, so you can continue that. Once I see the callers come through, I will let you know.
Okay, no problem. So in the meantime, before we then start to talk again, I want to promote an event that we're having on Saturday. This is our Parents Forum. We are inviting all parents. It's a virtual event. It is from 4 until 6 p.m. And this is going to give you lots of relevant information to what we are speaking to here this evening. So I'm going to encourage you to go on our Facebook or IG pages. Our Facebook is Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados or IG HSF Barbados and look for the link so that you can register, because you do have to register. But all parents, if you're not a parent, if you know any parents, please invite them. We have space for all of you. It is wonderful information. We're going to have the chief education officer. We're even going to have a little surprise at the end for you. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but the whole of Barbados knows him. So please come and get information. Okay. So right now, this is a conversation. Feel free to jump in anytime. Nicole, you're there, very quiet, but share some more information with us, Nicole. Oh, we have a call coming in, Larry.
Yes, you've got your first call. Go right ahead.
Go right ahead, caller. Good evening. You're on Healthline.
Hello. Hello. Good evening to everyone. Just a question. How would you go about, before offending anyone at all, how would you go about explaining to people that the child is overweight and you need to watch the diet a bit?
I'll take that one. When you say, how would you go about, meaning a neighbor or friend, or you mean the physician?
A neighbor, a friend, yeah, anything like that, yeah.
Yes, okay. Well, sometimes people are not aware of something happening. They're just not aware, and you may feel that you're offending them, but it's a kind word to say, have you taken your child to the doctor recently? And what does the doctor say? Are they growing well? Because people tend not to take children to the doctor unless they're ill. And the first 2 years of life are involving vaccines. But between the age of 18 months and 4.5 years, the children do not usually go to the doctor unless they're ill. And that is when we have to catch them with regards to the overweight and the obesity starting. So it's just a kind word to them and see how it's taken with the greatest of interest, of course.
Yeah,
don't presume. Yes.
Yeah, once you put it open a kind way, I think sometimes just be careful, because I think in Barbados it's like people go, oh, you get it's a fat, you know. So I think it's just once of like how you phrase it really, and maybe you may address it. Maybe you won't address it with the child present, but maybe tell the parent directly. As I said, just out of concern. Normally, once you come from a loving angle, but be careful about using words that can be immediately offensive, or you may say like, Master C, I'm just a little concerned. I noticed that Johnny put on like a little bit of weight and thing. You don't think maybe you should take him to the doctor? Maybe just to make sure nothing is wrong or something. Just find kind ways in which to, I think, phrase or to put the conversation. And, you know, that usually, I guess, would be better received.
And most definitely, because I find that when you fat shame people, they're very, resistant to accepting anything else that you have to say to them, because even they know, and most people know that when, especially older persons, they know that they are not the average size that they should be. And sometimes they just need a little assistance to get help. But what they don't want you to do is to tell them what they already know. They know that they're there. Just try to, you know, help them to get to a point where they're better. And if can't lose the weight so drastic, because persons always believe that you can stop eating tomorrow, you're gonna lose all the weight, or you're gonna take this medication and lose all. But it doesn't happen that way. And then that is one of the more discouraging things, because people say, well, you're going to the gym for 5 weeks now and you're losing no weight. It doesn't happen like that. Exercise alone will not work. And if somebody's telling that to you, they're setting you up for failure.
Hope that answers your question. Is he still there, Larry?
Well, the caller has gone, and maybe we can invite other callers now to come in at 4341790. And I'll tell you what, ladies, if you don't mind, let's take a break here and pay special treatment, give special treatment to our sponsors, and then we're going to come right back to you.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties and salty chips, them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch, do or tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going your garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mine is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that gear one of sells, nah?
Back, thank you.
I love it.
That gear one of sells, man. Get a fruit and start eating. That is good information right there. That's what we need to do. And Diane, to follow on to what you were talking about just now, with the sugary drinks, every time we start to talk about the sugary drinks, we get a little bit of backlash. But I personally think that we have become so accustomed to just drinking these drinks. We don't read labels is also the problem. If you look at some of these sugary drinks that we drink, you would not make a glass of lemonade and put 13 or 14, or for that matter, 17 teaspoons of sugar in it. And I think we need to come to a point where we start to read our labels. As a matter of fact, we are going full steam ahead with front to package labeling shortly, and you're going to be hearing a whole lot more about that. But I think the sugary drinks, yes, we drank them years ago when we were at school, but not to the extent that we're using them now. We see kids walking on the street at 8 o'clock in the morning and all different color drinks they're drinking. That's a problem. That's a real problem. And I think until we sit down and say, you know what, let me read this label and let me see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to do it. This takes a whole change in mindset. And as you said earlier, we need to keep talking and pushing this message. We need to keep pushing back. Nicole?
We've got another caller coming in, ladies. Maybe we can join them now. Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening,
sir. Welcome. Good evening to the panel there.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
How difficult it is to get children into exercise. I have a little suggestion. I believe if you offer them little incentives, you know, you'll get them interested in exercising. And my other question is how difficult it is to get children eating like ground provisions instead of a lot of the fast foods. How difficult is it?
All right, well, who wants to take that?
I would like to put in one or two responses here. How difficult is it for exercise? Now, from the time a child is born, they're exercising. The little baby is kicking around, they're rolling in the crib, and then they become a toddler, they can walk and run around, and exercise becomes example. If the child is in a household where the parents don't do much exercise, then they're not motivated. So as Dr. Brathwaite said, Diane, on evenings when they're finished school, outside somewhere running around and doing a little gardening or playing with a ball, from the young age, they just take it naturally. Now, during the school term, at the time, they have stipulated by the Ministry of Education set time that they do physical education. But unfortunately, over the years, we're finding that the senior students don't wish to do any physical education anymore. But that 1 hour minimum of some kind of running around, bicycle, jumping, skipping, natural activity, the parent has to lead. So the parent goes with the child. The other thing is about eating ground provisions. The diet is introduced from 6 months. Children will usually start solids of some kind. And I find that the parents complain the child doesn't eat vegetables. And I often have to find out if they eat vegetables too, because the child will eat what they put on the plate, usually, unless they're into allowing the question where the parent wants to say to a 2-3-year-old, what do you want to eat today? Now, that's putting a lot of stress on the child. Unfortunately, that's putting the cart before the horse. So I think a balanced diet, the protein, the starch, and the vegetables on the plate with the part of their meal, and they will usually eat what's put there. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah.
I have to add to Professor St. John. As it relates to exercise, children love to dance. And I know for some households, people don't like to see children dancing because they think it's provocative or whatever, but we have to meet them where they're at. They don't want to do jumping jacks anymore. They don't want to do these very rigid type of exercises. Children love to dance. And you don't have to give them some vulgar music to dance. So you just give them something, a beat, even if it's Baby Shark, do-do-do-do. They can dance. Once they hear the beat, they're Caribbean. They're going to dance. That dancing is burning the same amount. They're burning calories the same way if you tell them hands up, side cross with. Just let them get in the exercise, however they so choose to do it. If they choose to spin in circles, let them spin in circles. And the idea that children don't like to use ground provisions, that is something that we tell them at home. Because as a food nutrition teacher in secondary school and having camp with children who are in primary school, the first thing when they get to your food lab that they tell you, "Ma'am, can we make," and they start listing off these things. And most times it is none of the things that we would think. We would think that they're gonna come and say, I want fried chips and chicken. A lot of times, these children ask you, "Ma'am, we can make something that is used sweet potato." And it means sometimes I have so many breadfruits in my food lab or so many sweet potatoes that I have to say, "We cannot cook all these today." I ask them, like, "But I want to carry home and show my mommy." Until at some point, some parents will send you a WhatsApp and say, "Look at what Polly or what Kelly showed me made today with this item or whatever." But a lot of times when the kids want to make these items, a lot of times parents say, "I don't eat red fruit," or "I don't eat this," or "I don't, nobody in here else ain't want that." And so then the child is alienated into eating all the refined foods because, you know what? You don't want to sit there and sit and cook something, or you don't want to give your child the ability or the leeway to at least show you that they could prepare some of these items themselves. And in a lot of cases, that is the case, because when you see them at school, and you give them that leeway to create something in the classroom, these children are very, I'm going to tell you that from my experience, Barbadian children are very culinary-verse. And they just need that leeway and that exposure to do it. And if we give them the stuff that they can do it with, I am sure that they will be able to get it done and they'll like to eat it. But if you boil the potato and throw it on the plate with some vegetables next to it, an adult not going to eat it, so don't expect that they're going to eat it either. Make the food more appealing and the kids will like it.
I'd also say the taste of the food as well. Experiment exactly. Taste. Because I'll give an example. When my nephews were young, nobody else would get them to eat vegetables. When they come by me, they eat all my food. I don't even get a piece of the food, you understand? And it's because they figured out a way to make it so that they would enjoy it, you know? Not just boil it or just steam it as, you know, just a boil or steam vegetable with no taste.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Let me just join a really quick story. I remember years when I was very young, I hated cuckoo. And then I went to my aunt's house one evening and she did cuckoo. And it actually looked different and it looked good and I ate it. And then when she brought me home, she told my mother I ate cuckoo. And my mother said, no, she doesn't. Oh, okay. So we need to feed our children. We need to give them the stuff. Instead of letting them say, this is what we want. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Caller, you're on. Good evening. Welcome to Health
Good evening. Good evening. How are you doing?
How are you? I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening to the panel.
Good evening to you.
Good evening.
They're all smiling.
My question to you is, every time this discussion comes up, I hear about soft drink. But we're not telling you, is it a fact that when you use rice, it is broken down into sugar. And the body is broken down into sugar. And we are not telling the people, because there's a lot of people there who cannot afford to buy foods that are not carbohydrate. All right? So a lot of people are using rice, especially when they have children. They're using rice, they're using macaroni, they're using things, chow mein, because they're trying to cut or to you know, to use the money that they have to stretch the dollar then. To put it that way.
Yeah.
But we are going down on the soft drinks all the time, but rice is the same thing.
All right. Who wants to take that?
I'm actually going to just respond. Well, you go ahead.
Go ahead, Diane. I'll go ask you, Diane. You go.
No worries. Yeah. So what I want to say is, so you're perfectly correct. And as you would notice, I said, adding on to what Nicole said, anything that you eat that is what we call a carbohydrate or a starch is going to be changed into sugar in your body. Part of the complication with drinks is that the sugar is readily available and you don't consume it, and it's very quickly changed into fat in the body. Whereas some of the starches, for example, like a sweet potato, because the sugar is released a lot slower, it doesn't go up as fast in the body, okay? But however, I think you brought up a very important point. And I do appreciate that a lot of persons say, especially now during COVID, you know, they can't afford this, they can't afford that. And yes, the ramen might be cheaper or pasta and they'll use that. But we want to make sure that we tend towards more unrefined carbohydrates as opposed to carbs that are being processed. So there's no harm in using sweet potato over pasta or a piece of cassava or breadfruit or something like that. But the other important thing, sir, is looking at the portion size and the serving size, because we all need some carbohydrates in our diet, but we have to look at the serving size. And sometimes, you know, the serving sizes are just too big and therefore too much calories and encouraging weight gain. So we're kind of right on both parts, and serving size is something I guess hopefully Nicole can just talk to very quickly.
Nicole?
Yes. So I wouldn't want to say that rice is bad, and I don't want to put a label as to say these things are bad, because you can consume these things. I'm not gonna tell you not to consume these things, because I sure have rice in my cupboard. And it is just the way you prepare these items. You can have rice. If you put that rice in the correct portion size, say you put your cup of rice, if it's your one or your half cup, depending on how many vegetables you plan to put with it. If you put that rice with vegetables, and then you put that rice, that same rice with the correct portion size of protein, whether it is pulses or legumes or nuts or animal product protein, it will have a whole completely different effect than if you guzzle down 4 or 5 soft drinks a day. Because the truth is, and I said this before on another radio show, When you consume one coke, you can best eat in a whole pound cake because the amount of sugar that is in one sugar sweetened beverage, is the same amount that you can use to make a whole cake. So imagine every time you drink a sugar sweetened beverage, you can be making a cake as you can best go eat a whole cake because it's the same amount of sugar. And for you to, I don't like when people try to compare the two because as Dr. Bradford said, the way they're broken down, the body is totally different. If you test your blood sugar after eating a cup of rice in comparison at the same time after you eat or you drink a sugar sweetened beverage, your blood sugar reading is going to be different because the rate at which they're going to be broken down is going to be totally different. And the difference is also is that those things come in nutrients. Food has nutrients in it. When you drink a sugar sweetened beverage, unless it is fortified, most times some of them just fortified with vitamin C, just so they can say that it has in a vitamin. If you don't have one, those ones that are fortified, then you are just drinking, as you want to say, or anemic carbohydrate. You're just drinking the sugars. You're not getting anything else other than sugar in the sugar sweetened beverage. Whereas when you eat rice or you eat the pasta or you eat the other, even though they are not the best options, you are still getting other nutrients that your body needs. So I wouldn't want to put out there that people should cut out carbohydrates because that's a very dangerous thing to do if you are not monitored. And it's not a realistic thing for everybody to do. So I wouldn't put that as something out there to tell people cut carbohydrates out their diet. You just need to do it in correct portion sizes. And there are rules on the amount of carbohydrates you should use. If you read labels, and I would hope that a lot of persons will come to the label reading sessions, even if you're not a parent, but you may have a niece or a nephew. If you come to that session and you're able to learn to read those labels, at the back of packaging, always tell you what recommended serving size per person. And most times they give you the cooking measurements when it comes to particular food items and how those particular food items should be cooked to maximize the amount of nutrients and so that are present in those food items.
One more question before you go, ma'am. What is your comment or what is your reaction to, you know, sugar drinks that's being sold on the market? The drinks that's being marketed as no sugar.
You mean in terms of no sugar juice or no sugar?
No, it don't call drinks that being marketed as no sugar. You can go on the market and even see a quote marked no sugar. All right.
Well, it doesn't have any cane sugar, that's what it means, but it does have an artificial sugar. If you look at the back, you will see it will have the chemical name for whatever type of artificial sugar is present in there. And for some persons, let me just say that is up for debate. I wouldn't personally give it to a child. If an adult so chooses to consume a no sugar drink that contains a artificial sweetener, that has a choice for an adult to make, because artificial sweeteners, yes, they haven't been proven to be harmful to the body. However, they have other side effects like diarrhea and a whole other list of other things. They don't contain the same sugar as the other beverages that are similar to those, but they don't contain any nutrients. They don't contain any other stuff. So they are not recommended to replace drinking or drinking a smoothie or drinking something that contains vitamins or minerals. But I cannot outwardly say to you that it is harmful for you as the original beverage, but I will not recommend that a child or anybody under that we consider to be a child 18 years or old under should be consuming those in large quantities because it doesn't add to their nutrients and it doesn't add any value to their diet.
I would like to say something while we're on the subject of sugar very briefly. People are asked to look to see if something contains sugar. However, there are other ways of adding the so-called sugars. There's dextrose, there's corn syrup solids, which is corn syrup is in a lot of the juices, juice drinks, not juices, they're juice drinks really, because what's on the label at the back, the first thing is water, then it's corn syrup, and one, if not really sensitizable sugars and different sugars may find, oh, this doesn't have sugar, I don't see sugar, but that's what's in there. So it's very important to be able to understand what is the content of what's in your drink.
Okay, great. So we are coming down to the wire now. We have 5 minutes left. Larry, do we have a final call?
All right, no, that caller has left. Maybe we'll get one just before we go, but we'll wait and see.
No problem. So in the meantime, then, I'm going to invite our guests just to give us one more word. You have approximately 1 minute and 15 seconds to close out the session. We want to start with you, Prophet.
Certainly. I would like to say that I am happy for this program that we've had first, and it will be running for a period of time. I didn't get a chance to mention implementation of a school nutrition policy, which the Childhood Obesity Coalition of Barbados has been pushing for, and we're happy to say that we've been promised by the Ministry of Education that this will be implemented from this term. However, COVID is still with us, and there's no in-house school. So this policy, including a ban on restriction on the sale and marketing of unhealthy foods and drinks in and around schools. And this certainly should go a long way to helping in the fight against childhood overweight and obesity, which is a crisis, and it is an epidemic. COVID is one, but we have had this epidemic for quite a while. So return to students to face-to-face without any changes in the food environment would place our children in an even greater risk. So I look forward to this being implemented.
Yeah, we'll probably hear something about that on Saturday at our parents' forum with the chief education officer. That is exactly what she's supposed to be speaking to. So hopefully we'll get something positive. Diane?
Yeah, I'd like to say, well, thank you for having me. And I hope that we can continue to encourage people to come out and listen to these forums. I would just say our children are worth it. We want the best for our children. So collectively, whether you're a friend, a neighbor, or an invested person in whatever way, just help us to kind of push this message continually. And I also just want to emphasize that remember that nutrition and physical activity habits start from very, very, very young. So we're not just talking about children. We want to have to explain to people that we're talking about what happens with your toddler too. Okay, so from the time a child comes off the breast, what is going into the baby's mouth? Think about these things as well, because how that child is fed in their very early life, how they're encouraged to exercise, is going to help shape what happens in the rest of their lifetime.
Okay, thank you, Diane. Nicole, you have exactly 45 seconds.
thank you for having me on the show. I just want to remind persons what tasked with the responsibility of preparing foods for children, and that's anybody under 18 years old. I just want to remind you that, you know, as much as possible, try to include vegetables, even if they're hidden there, if they're in your stews, if they're mixed into your rice or your paces. And just remember that if you make your customers ill in the future, you won't have any customers. So just remember that you're going to try to keep people healthy so that you can continue to have business, because your business is very reliant on the people who you have in our case.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Nicole. And let me invite listeners seeking more information on our campaign and in general about what we're doing to check us out on our Facebook or Instagram pages, HSF Barbados on Instagram and Facebook at Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados, or log on to our website at Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. Thanks for your calls. We're delighted that you took the time to listen. Remember to tune in next Wednesday at 6:30. We're going to have three more guests with us. And the topic for next week is the not-so-sweet truth about sugar. Thanks to you, Prof Anne, to Dr. Diane Brathwaite, Mrs. Nicole Elliott. Thank you to you, Larry. This was Healthline. I'm Jan Phillips. Thank you and good night.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips, them just give hypertension. Got some old-fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24-7.
Try on going your garden, I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez, on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell, nah?